Good evening, this is Mae Bressel. The title of this broadcast is World Watchers. It's program 754, May the 19th, 1986. There's a new book out by a gentleman, Roy Rowan, published by Little Brown, called The Intuitive Manager. The articles about this book have interested me because there is not much attention paid to intuition and the role it plays in making very major decisions or take chances. But there's a quotation in this book from John Sears, who was a campaign manager for Ronald Reagan, and he said, in quotes, "Ronald Reagan is the embodiment of a peculiar American virtue that says all things are possible if you make them so, that reality is an illusion that can be overcome." Now, it is very good to have actors such as Ronald Reagan and Pope John Paul II or Evita Peron, an actress, in the role that they studied drama, then went into the real-life role, because reality behind these people was always terribly different from what the real world is, and their role as actors was to pass on the illusions to us and not the truth. I went to a luncheon today at Pebble Beach put on by an organization called The Forum. Its purpose is to stop the arms race, to slow down the weapons purchases and the experimentations with them, and hopefully to find some way to have peace. And the guest speaker there was Daniel Ellsberg. That's why I decided to go to the luncheon. And it was just 15 years ago that the Pentagon Papers broke. If it hadn't been for Daniel Ellsberg's news and publishing the Pentagon Papers, I don't know if I would have started my 1 hour week on the radio. I started that by invitation from KLRB at that time to talk about the Pentagon Papers. And what I said in the very first broadcast was the way the government lies and has lied in the past, and going back to the political assassinations, and then, of course, the war would be easy to lie about, and the purpose of killing these other heads of states, or would-be heads of states, was to get that war going. The subject that he talked about today was about presidential lies and his disillusionment in finding in 1969 the lies about Vietnam and why we're in Vietnam and that we couldn't win the war. Now, Daniel Ellsberg worked in the system. He didn't question in 1963 the instant questions that people were asking about who murdered John Kennedy. In 1968, Robert Kennedy was murdered, and Reverend Martin Luther King, and maybe this seeped into his subconscious that something was going wrong here. And by 1969, he wanted to tell us about the White House, the lies in the White House, and then if you take it a step further, the president just doesn't make up things that he's going to keep from us, little white secrets. He has to have help or suggestion on these activities by the Pentagon, by the Secretary of State, by the National Security Agency, by the Secretary of Defense. So there's a team behind the lies who know what they're going to do, but don't tell you what they're going to do. And then, of course, there's the media and people like Walter Cronkite and Dan Rather, and the mass media, Bill Moyers, who passes himself off as a liberal, or Tom Brady on CNN, from the left, he describes himself, who are part of the intelligence establishment, who keep the big lies going. And years later, we find out in various ways that they have lied to us also. And they are part of the scenery that manipulates the illusion that the president uses to think he's fooling us, and now he's taking us right to the brink of World War III. Now, one of the subjects that is very important that has been ignored for a long time is the use of known war criminals for America, for Great Britain, for the intelligence community in Germany, and lying about their past, the most notorious being Mr. Waldheim, Kurt Waldheim, who will probably be elected president of Austria in June. Another massive liar is Simon Wiesenthal, who just this week was attacking Israel Singer of the World Jewish Congress for causing anti-Semitism in Austria by indicating that the Austrians would have trouble by electing Waldheim. And Wiesenthal says, "It's not my habit to attack people. I want to see the evidence." And so far, he's found no evidence that Kurt Waldheim was a war criminal, and he attacks the Jewish organizations instead, and that's exactly what Simon Wiesenthal is paid to do. The New York Times, April 25th, just 2 weeks ago, has a long article. An Austrian OSS Man is linked to Kurt Waldheim. And this is written by a woman, Elaine Cialino, for the New York Times. And she says that the first foreign minister in Vienna after the war, his name is Karl Gruber. He's 78 and still alive today. He was foreign minister from 1946 to 1953, had a personal secretary, Kurt Waldheim, who was on his staff, and he traveled with Mr. Gruber to the United States, even to Moscow, to London, wherever they traveled together, representing the Austrian government as the foreign minister, and that the reason Waldheim was on his staff when he was Austrian foreign minister is that it came from the recommendation. He came from his first secretary, Fritz Molden, M-O-L-D-E-N. And Molden gave a strong recommendation about Waldheim working for him as his secretary, traveling secretary. And Molden was heir to the Austrian publishing empire. Now, if he was heir to the empire of the large publishing empire, then he had to be there when Adolf Hitler was there and the empire was functioning, when Otto Skorzeny and the network was set up of the Odessa, and when the top Nazis were retrenching, as of the book, The Nazis Go Underground, to get ready for another try against the Soviet Union eventually. Now, Molden gave Waldheim a strong recommendation, and Molden said he investigated Waldheim, investigation being in quotes, and he found nothing material on him. Now, remember that Walter Dornberger and Wernher von Braun and Reinhard Gehlen and 600 other top scientists came to the armed forces, to the rocket stations, to Huntsville, Alabama, Muscle Shoals, Alabama, to Dallas-Fort Worth areas, such as Walter Dornberger, who were known war criminals, but we use their expertise, and their papers were sanitized so that you wouldn't know if they were war criminals, because Mr. Molden was saying that Waldheim is Kling, but then later Mr. Gruber admits he never even asked him what he did during the war. Now, Mr. Molden, 2 years after Waldheim was recommended to work for the foreign minister, married the daughter of Alan Dulles, who later was on the Warren Commission, who I have been accusing of hiding Nazi war criminals and using known Nazis for the murder of John Kennedy and being involved in this Nazi network. He married the daughter of Dulles. Dulles was described in the New York Times modestly as a lawyer, prominent in the OSS during the war. He was more than that. He came out of the offices of Sullivan and Cromwell, same offices of Mr. Adams, who set up the AGS, Advanced Genetic Sciences, out here in California, just coincidentally. But he was part of Operation Sunrise for the OSS in Bern, Switzerland, where he was meeting SS Karl Wolff, the liaison to Heinrich Himmler and Adolf Hitler, while Wolff was running Treblinka prison and concentration camp. He was meeting with Alan Dulles and the top Nazis and Richard von Weizsäcker, whose son is now president of Germany. So the Gestapo and the Waffen-SS worked closely with the OSS, and the recommendation for Waldheim to work for the foreign minister is not surprising considering all of this activity, but it is surprising to learn that Alan Dulles' daughter married the head of the Viennese publishing empire. Now, Alan Dulles became deputy director of CIA from 1953 to 61. He was CIA director 1961 to 62, and then John Kennedy fired him. He said, "There's a hidden government behind my back," and instantly after Kennedy was murdered, Alan Dulles was put on the Warren Commission to, in quotes, rule out any conspiracy to kill John Kennedy. So Joan Dulles, whose father was in the OSS and then formed the CIA, married Fritz Molden, and Molden gave the recommendation for Kurt Waldheim to be cleared, and his activities with the Greek and Yugoslavian massacres were totally covered up. And also remember later that I accused Alan Dulles just about 4 months ago, the months go so fast, of his role in the murder of Dag Hammarskjöld and the relationship of Dag Hammarskjöld from Sweden close to Olof Palme. And I linked the evidence of the Waldheim past to one of the reasons that Olof Palme had to be murdered at that particular time, because the election's coming up in Austria. So far, I've never seen anybody make those connections, but there's more on that, and the Yugoslav links and the British links to British massacres that I'll go to in a few moments. But after a brief chairmanship, just a few years, maybe 10, which goes quickly, as head of the UN by you thought, Waldheim became head of the United Nations. And Alan Dulles' connections to Waldheim by his son-in-law recommending him to be secretary of the foreign minister in Vienna is brought up in this New York Times article that it fuels concern that Waldheim's wartime records were kept secret. And also Fritz Bolton, Alan Dulles' son-in-law, and Waldheim were school friends in Vienna. This is a time period in 1944 when Waldheim was talking about the resurgence of Germany. They both joined the Austrian Foreign Service in 1945, but the New York Times article doesn't say if that was how far ahead that was before the war was over. Did they work for Adolf Hitler in the Austrian Foreign Service up till the end of the war, which would be in May of 1945? And the article says now there are questions about whether Kurt Waldheim's work as a lieutenant in the German Army Command, when he worked against the Yugoslavian partisans and the deportation of Greek Jews, was suppressed by the governments. When Waldheim became Secretary General of the UN, he was elected in 1971, again in 1976, no questions were asked, and the question, of course, remains, why did Yugoslavia never complain or explain that they had papers on Waldheim being a war criminal, but suppressed them all of this time? Now, Mr. Gruber said he hired Waldheim as his secretary as soon as the war was over, in 1946, on the recommendation of this head of the empire of the publishers in Vienna. And this man then goes on to marry, in 1948, the daughter of Alan Dulles. And the subject is brought up why Mr. Gruber, as foreign minister, didn't check out the background of Kurt Waldheim and what he was doing during the war, if he's taking him on as his foreign minister as soon as the war was over. And he didn't rule out the possibility that Waldheim had connections with Americans after World War II. And this may help to explain how somebody like Helene von Damm from Austria comes to the United States by way of William Clark, Ronald Reagan's close friend, and works for Otto von Bolschwing in Sacramento and in Sunnyvale, California. And von Bolschwing becomes the head of the Galen operation. She was a secretary to Reagan as governor for 8 years in California, then in the White House for 4 years, and became the ambassador to Austria, where she now lives, and married a wealthy gentleman from Austria. That's his home base. And the New York Times article says it was probable that Mr. Moulton kept up his connections with the United States intelligence because of his father-in-law, Alan Dulles, who might say, work a little for me. But I have an interpretation that the Austrian, Kurt Waldheim, said to Dulles, you work for me. It seems we're working more for what the Nazis did or want than what the Americans originally intended or wanted, or I would like to think they didn't intend things to be this way. The article concludes one of the reasons Gruber wanted him for his secretary was that he kept up his connections with the American intelligence. He had good standing with the Americans. Kurt Waldheim did, and as Karl Gruber's secretary, Waldheim went on these trips with him, and he knew that he had served in the Balkans from 1942 to 45, but he just said, I never asked any questions. What he did during the war or in the Balkans was never given much importance when he was under consideration for a job. I needed a personal secretary, and we don't ask very much from these people, and he said it wasn't important. My main concern is Austria, Gruber testified, and he went before the House Subcommittee in Congress on Human Rights and International Affairs and said the only thing that really matters is Austria. Now, Yugoslavia wasn't the only country that kept the war records of Kurt Waldheim secret. There's an article, May the 3rd, in the San Francisco Examiner. France had early data on Waldheim. The French government knew that Kurt Waldheim lied about his World War II activities as early as 1979, and while he was still Secretary General of the United Nations. And as new revelations come out, this article says about his records, they came across some diaries that he had written, and the Justice Department said that the Senate will put pressure on Attorney General Edwin Meese, but it will be unlikely to influence their decision to let him enter the United States again. The new documents that have been obtained by the World Jewish Congress show that the French government checked Waldheim's record, his personal record, in West Berlin in 1979, and it didn't indicate why the check was made or why its contents were not made public. But Senator Pete Wilson introduced a resolution that the Justice Department should act quickly on the question of barring Waldheim based upon these documents and the evidence. There's a wartime diary of Waldheim's in 1943, discovered by a professor at the University of South Carolina, a history professor, I mentioned him before, and about his work in capturing Greek partisans and sending them to slave labor camps where he knew they would be killed, and his activity for the Yugoslavian government. Now, an interesting article in the Los Angeles Times, May the 17th, is titled British Order Probe of Possible Link to Waldheim. And the reason the British article is the article about Great Britain is of such interest to me is at the same time that Olof Palme died in Sweden, that same week, Lady Fleming died. She was married to the scientist, Dr. Fleming, who discovered the penicillin, and she came from Greece, and she was a resistance fighter during World War II and then fought the Greek military junta that the United States put in 1967. And I believe that her death and Olof Palme's death just came so quickly together because of the strategic position they were in to give any information to support the facts that were coming out about Kurt Waldheim and his past criminal record. The article from London says the British government has ordered the examination of military records to determine if Waldheim was involved with the disappearance of captured British commandos during World War II. Waldheim was accused in a House of Commons motion Thursday of involvement in the disappearance of unspecified numbers of Britons while in the German army in the Wehrmacht in the Balkans. It was signed by 45 legislators that said there's a link between Waldheim and the deaths of British commandos who were taken prisoners. Without giving any details, it said that Waldheim was in charge of interrogating the British, and then they were sent to their death. Alf Morris, the opposition Labour Party, one of the legislators who signed the Commons motion, asked Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher in a written question why her government was unwilling to seek from the United Nations copies of documents in their position relating to Waldheim's wartime activities. Now, keep in mind that Klaus Barbie has been in jail in France since 1983, and this is 3 years now, and he's not going to trial. Doesn't look like he'll be going even for a long time, and he was part of killing the resistance during the war and after the war used by the CIA, and now we have the gentleman who referred Mr. Waldheim as secretary to the foreign minister of Vienna, married shortly after the war. There wasn't much time to the daughter of Alan Dulles, of all people. There was another large article in the New York Times by the same lady. This is April 24th. United Nations archives bar unlimited access to war criminals. Israel is told it has to prepare specific questions for files on war crime suspects. The article says the United Nations refused to give access to files on 40,000 criminals and suspects and witnesses in their archives. In light of this refusal, Israel is compiling a list of suspected war criminals it believes are still alive and in the hope of finding. And maybe this is the time to write again to the Israeli government and ask about Mr. Fritz Kramer, and is that the war criminal who came to the United States, the plans officer of the Pentagon. I asked Daniel Ellsberg if he met him. He said he had lunch with him one day, the fellow with the monocle, but doesn't seem too interested in finding out if he was Adolf Hitler's general before he was giving Ellsberg orders and the other people orders in Vietnam. And then, of course, following what's happening all over the world, you can see the influence of Mr. Fritz Kramer on Alexander Haig and Henry Kissinger and our entire Defense Department. But the New York Times says in this article about Waldheim, we think there is something very wrong in the denial to open access to the material. The credibility of the UN is in the balance, that there are 40,000 files collected from 1943, 2 years before the war was over, to 1948, when Alan Dulles' daughter married the man who recommended Kurt Waldheim to the foreign minister of Vienna. And this United Nations War Crimes Commission has been operating in London. The commission has evidence from the governments of its 17 members, investigated the charges, and opened files on individuals classified according to capability. 17 governments have to have a master list, according to this article. Members are Australia, Belgium, Britain, Canada, China, Czechoslovakia, France, Greece, India, Luxembourg, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, Poland, South Africa, the United States, and Yugoslavia. The commission was disbanded with no clear rules governing access to the files, and in 1949 there was a debate about the United Nations members and the United Nations officials whether they should see the files or have them closed, and so far they say Israel has made no formal request for full access, but has only up till now brought up the subject in a conversation with the United Nations Legal Council, and they were told that a request for a full access would present legal problems that it would take months or years to resolve. Mr. Ben, B-E-I-N, called on other governments to request access to all the files, saying they were not turned over to the United Nations to keep them in a closed, dark room. They weren't there to be locked up, and the question is, what are they doing there? They also said that the Waldheim story raises serious questions concerning wartime activities of others such as him, and Waldheim is now running for president of Austria, and the United Nations War Crimes gave Waldheim its most serious classification, A. That's for accused war criminal, indicating there is a clear-cut case that has been presented against him and that he should be delivered up for trials that he did during the war. The other category is S, a suspect who appeared to be guilty, but the government never got enough sufficient evidence, and C are for cases that are adjourned, used later for purported war criminals who could not be identified, and W is for witnesses of the war crimes. So the New York Times has an article about their holding back these various names and not wanting to share them and making it sort of a witch hunt. You tell us who you want, and we'll see what we have on that person. There's an editorial in a newspaper recently published 3 days ago that criticized Waldheim for making remarks where he said if he were elected president of Austria, he would have a president who equates the People's Liberation Army with the Wehrmacht. This is in a newspaper recently in Vienna or Germany that they were quoting Waldheim, that a People's Liberation would be like the Wehrmacht. The Wehrmacht were victims with criminals, the occupied with occupiers, liberators with aggressors. Now, Germany went into these countries, and Waldheim has been complaining that the Germans are victims of terror when the people in the country were defending themselves. So this is a scandalous editorial done recently 3 days ago, criticizing him for making the remark that the Wehrmacht were people that should be considered equal to the liberators. And that gets back to Ronald Reagan and his idea of who the freedom fighters are, actually representing corporations. There's an article in the Wall Street Journal. Israel asked the UN, again, to open the forgotten files. And this is some more about their holding them back and saying there is very little activity written in those files. And previously, the files were opened up for Joseph Mengele, Klaus Barbie, Adolf Eichmann. These are the top people that ran the German government who we know about. And, of course, they don't even mention Martin Bormann. And speaking of Mengele, I read this week that Bonn is sending several people down to Brazil to verify, in quotes, the identification of Joseph Mengele, which is not Joseph Mengele, but there are at least four people who, in testimony and in trials, have said that Mengele was alive as of February of 1985. So Germany can't give the kiss of approval yet, but the United States government has said it's absolutely Mengele, and I want to update more on that for you. The Washington Times had an article April 15th, new charges say Waldheim deported Jews from Greece, and in all fairness, even Reverend Moon's paper and Arno de Borchgrave have carried a lot of large articles about Waldheim and his past record. And I don't think it's a coincidence that several people attacked Ronald Reagan in speeches just recently for being similar to Hitler, and there was a large picture of Vernon Walters in the Houston Post. Under it, it says, the comparison with Hitlerism is disgusting. And this has to do with the United Nations, where an anticlimactic Security Council debate was going on with a Cuban foreign minister, and he compared Ronald Reagan with Adolf Hitler, and our U.S. Ambassador Vernon Walters was shocked. He said, this is horrible, it's disgusting, and he didn't like the comparison of Hitler going into undeclared areas and bombing them and taking those countries, and the comparison of Ronald Reagan's behavior in Libya and elsewhere in trying to overthrow countries identical to the way that Adolf Hitler moved. I didn't do much about Hitler's bash, his birthday this past week and a half ago, it'll be soon. The usual number of people come out throughout Germany and have their meetings and celebrate Hitler's birthday, and it was in April. And another article from a newspaper, anti-Semitism in West Berlin is worse than ever. It's a quotation of Heinz Galinsky from the West Berlin Jewish Community Center, saying that it's stronger now than at any time since Adolf Hitler's Nazi regime. The Jews are getting threatening letters, insulting letters, there's graffiti and so forth. And when they commemorate the 43rd anniversary of the end of the war and the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising, they met their worst criticism and violence and anti-Semitism, which they compare to Nazi Germany. Now, Vernon Walters was outraged, our UN ambassador, to the fact that Ronald Reagan was compared to Adolf Hitler. Vernon Walters is a Knight of Malta from the Vatican. He also is a long captain of the intelligence community. He was deputy director of the CIA, and he was behind every major coup that this country affected since World War II, along with Alan Dulles and Wild Bill Donovan. There are pictures of Vernon Walters going to London and meeting with the heads there before we bombed Libya, trying to get the approval of our allies so that it would be like a united joint thing, not just Hitler on his own, but we would have the allies behind us. And the New York Times has a picture of Vernon Walters titled, Walters Lobbies Allies to Act Against Gaddafi. That was April the 14th. And another Washington Post story, that was New York Times, Walter discusses terrorism with European leaders, and this is when he went to Germany to meet with Helmut Kohl, Chancellor Helmut Kohl, to persuade him to take tough actions against Muammar Gaddafi, and the Germans and the United States should unite and make a strike against Libya, which Germany didn't do, but Margaret Thatcher went along with the idea. Now, I'm going to Vernon Walters and his role in instigating coups, and as his director of the United Nations, and tying together the kind of lies that our president tells by giving you a story, a sketchy story, that came to me this weekend that I'll update for you and fill with you because there are court records on this story, and it has to do with what's going on in Ethiopia at the present time, and Vernon Walters of the UN, who encouraged the bombing of Libya and who is probably number one liar next to Kurt Waldheim, along with Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon and Alan Dulles and William Donovan and William Casey. He has been the Cold War, Hot War liar, and I want to make some connections to his United Nations organization and what he is doing now. For the sake of some of this, I'm going to leave names out until next week or the week after, but this story reminds me that I'm going to tell you when I was first starting on KLRB, and I was on the air just 2 or 3 months. And many of you remember going back to that time period where I got pictures of people from the Nazi Party at Fort Ord who were planning to put botulism into water, not in our area, but to the Great Lakes of Michigan, and poison the water in the event that this country went too far left. And this was the first time I'd gotten any information and pictures and names of people that had links in Monterey County and in the military to Nazis in the area in the back east, who intended to poison this country and spread their poison around chemically and so forth. And I gave it to the FBI and the proper authorities, and they began to move on that. And then later it became public information, not crediting me, but you saw the story break about the Nazis and botulism, and you can look it up, and the intent to actually put poison into the waters in this country. Now, I got a call from a person who's known my research for years, who lives in the Santa Cruz area. He hasn't listened to World Watchers for a while, so he wasn't up on what I was saying about the Middle East, but he has befriended a person, I won't give you his name, who has come to this country from Ethiopia and from the Sudan, who speaks the languages of that area, 4 or 5 of them, I understand, who was brought here from Bakersfield, California, just coincidentally the home of the killer bees. Never explained how they got here from Sao Paulo, Brazil, and I mentioned those a few times. He was brought to Bakersfield and then to a small college, Cabrillo College, which is north of Carmel and Monterey, but close to UC, University of California College at at Santa Cruz. There's a campus at UC Santa Cruz, and there's a small college, Cabrillo College, not so well known, that is a state college in the same area of Santa Cruz and Aptos. And this fellow was brought from Bakersfield, and I have to fill this in, to Cabrillo College and was just the past couple weeks approached by a person whose name I have and their five offices under the guise of the United Nations and was told he was to go back and do some murders in Ethiopia, kill one or more people, some heads of states, under the cover, the offices that the people work with that wanted him to do these murders are the African Aid, the Ethiopian Aid Program for the Starving Ethiopians. And I have the name of the one person who runs an office across the street from the college. Five people have been named in a suit, and I have to get this from the county and look it up and talk with him. There's a civil suit naming five people who put a hold on his money and income in exchange for his going to Ethiopia to do some murders. Now we'll take a one-minute break, and then I'll get back to this story of Ethiopia, United Nations, assassinations, African Aid, and some of the scandals behind this story that's developed out here on the West Coast.